You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum, and joining me here on a Thursday evening in the beautiful Bison Report Studios in Horace, North Dakota, is Zach Willis. Zach, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. I mean, it's great. A little quarterfinal matchup coming up. Some guys I know on the opposite team, but excited for a good one this Saturday.
And you're going to be there, which is new.
Yeah, You know, I've been talking a lot of trash about no blue seats, but I'll actually be there this weekend. So come say what's up at tailgating, the BR tailgate. Not sure what the menu is going to be, but it will be for sure serving up some good conversation, some smiles, and
okay,
good times.
We're going to leave the attendance thing alone for the most part. I feel like we've said what has to be said.
And I've yelled about it enough.
And we've, you know, what do they say? Don't talk about it, be about it. We were about it. The Bison Report family gave away 10 tickets.
We gave away more than that, by the way.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
fair enough. Good to know.
Yes.
I got one more giveaway thing that we'll do, but that's going to be slightly later on the show. Let's get right in to the news. That was too quiet. Better. All right. Bison Hoops gets beat bad out at Montana State, which is the bad news. But the good news is that number five in your program is number one in your heart. Sam Griesel returned. His minutes were limited, and they kind of looked like they have looked, which is not great without him out there. And right. That's, this season, I think it's okay, but it certainly calls into question next year. Now there are two point guards in the class. How much do you want to hand off your program to a true freshman point guard? I don't know. The development of Willie Guy and Des McKinney over the next 14 months is going to be a really big deal.
Yeah, and I think they're in a good spot to do it behind a guy like number five.
For sure.
Just good to see that. I mean, he's coming back from that scary situation and limited minutes, but it's pointing towards he's going to be back full-time here pretty soon.
James Kaiser, brother John, offensive line, commits to NDSU, looks just like James, but if James was an offensive lineman.
Talk about a football family, man. That entire crew played D1 football. It's crazy. Yeah,
very, very, very impressive. And then we'll talk about this. Cancel the playoff blues. Something cool that came out of it was like our discussion with Ben LeCompte's discussion and then kind of like the way that those two things worked off each other. Obviously the athletic department giving Ben the social media love and the way that thing sort of went viral. And then I happened to talk to a source at NDSU that, said, just so you know, we can't discount tickets because of the NCAA. B, we can't and probably shouldn't give away tickets because if we start giving away tickets, then everyone will always just wait right for them to be given away. Yeah. Nobody will pay for them, which is kind of the point. And ultimately it caused a donor, which was my ultimate suggestion, was get somebody involved. So an anonymous donor, and we screwed this up, or I screwed this up specifically a little bit on Twitter. The Boys and Girls Club of the Red River Valley and Big Brothers Big Sisters are not the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That's on me. So this was for Big Brothers Big Sisters. The tickets that were donated were for Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is, I think, works hand in hand with Boys and Girls Club of the Red River Valley.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
But they are not actually the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's It's super cool that they did that.
For sure.
That donor stepped up and did it. Not only because, I mean, if you know anything about Big Brother, Big Sister, I mean, those are kids that need experiences like going to Bison football games. So it's super cool that they're getting to go experience a playoff game and do all that stuff with their big brother or big sister.
Absolutely. No, going to be awesome. Going to be a great memory. A lot of those kids aren't as fortunate enough, aren't as fortunate as a lot of you listening, a lot of your kids, you know, folks that are listening, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is going to be something that they'll remember.
Yeah.
You know, and it's big time.
Personally, like the tickets we gave away and Big Deck giveaway, I don't. The last thing I want to do is sit here and toot my horn, but I made a point of emphasis to make sure it was either somebody who had never been to a game,
right,
or somebody that had kids who had never been to a game, because I know how formidable those memories for me going with my dad.
So. And that's why, because like, and I look, I love veterans, I love first responders,
yeah.
I love people that haven't been to a game, I love, you know, whatever. But that was why for us, I was just like trivia questions,
yeah.
Like let's help everybody. Let's not, you know, zero in on like one group of people. You were people that hadn't been there before. Elena Christensen is veterans. Ben was, you know, I think also somebody who hadn't been there before. Give me the best story. And I was just like, you know what, let's hook up four random people. Let's do it that way.
Yeah, that's super cool too. And you know, shout out to Ben for getting that whole thing rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even think about it, and it's kind of dumb, and it's like the easiest way to get people there is buy them tickets, but he kind of got that rolling, and shout out to everybody who stepped up and did donate for, I know I saw volunteer firefighters, if there's somebody they can give them away, or teachers, stuff like that. Shout out to all you guys, not using your tickets, getting rid of them, giving to a good cause.
Really cool moment. All right, I got two sideline seats. Here's what you need to do. 5-star review, and I want them on Apple Podcasts, because that's the one that we check. So 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with a written review. Now, whoever, if it's one person, that person's going to get the tickets. But if multiple people do it, my favorite written review is getting the two sideline tickets. Now, you're not going to be standing next to Coach Entz. I mean, from the end zone to the end zone, you're going to be looking at the field the long way. You're not going to be behind the scoreboard in the end zone. I'm getting you the $45 ticket. So two seats. Give us a 5-star review. Give us a written review. And my favorite written review, let's cut it at 5 o'clock today. So you guys are hearing this on Friday, 8 o'clock today, because let's give people some time.
Sure.
You guys are getting this. This is probably dropping at 9 a.m. Friday morning.
Also, it's incentive for people to listen. So if you listen to this Saturday morning, too late.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut out tickets.
Sorry. 8 p.m. we will do, and I'll put this on social just so it's fair.
So do you want like a good review of the podcast, or you want something funny? What's
you tell me what I want. My favorite one. I mean, whatever. If you make me laugh.
If you make fun of both of us.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I know there's some famous podcasts that like break the host down and stuff, but if you roast me and Ross and you make us laugh, you might win.
You might win. You might win. You might win. All right. As I said, that is enough. Enough of the talk about the blue seats. We get it. We get it. Trust me, the athletic department gets it.
Yeah,
like the folks that I've talked to, they understand. And it's everybody I think has a cross to bear in this. Like Matt Larson could have done better. There are aspects of the game day experience that have gotten stale, scheduling, whatever. The fans are taking this team for granted. Part of it's on them.
1,000%.
Part of it's on the administration. I actually think 0% of it's on the players, personally.
I saw that thrown around. I'm like, that has absolutely zero to do with it.
Sure. And you know, ultimately, some of it's just circumstance, happenstance.
Right.
And I will say this as well. You know, there are $15 tickets to get into Sam Houston State. And a guy tweeted at us about supply and demand. And that's the thing, because when everyone was excited about NDSU being good, there was a waiting list.
Right.
And so when you have a waiting list, you increase the price.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And now you have waning interest, but you still have those prices from when you had
the interest,
the supply and demand, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And I, like you said, I think it's a whole holistic thing. I've kind of appreciated the administration as far as game day experience. I mean, they do like the Chick-fil-A drop and all this stuff, like fun stuff that I think matters to people. But I mean, if it's because you're bored of watching us beat people, just say that. Don't say it because of anything else, you know? That's kind of what bugged me, as far, and you know, I saw COVID thrown around. I think that fits for a lot of people, but like you mentioned on Twitter, there was a sellout.
There was a sellout
more than a month ago. Yeah. So,
all right, let's bring on Nate Zastro here via phone for some hoops talk.
Hey,
hey, buddy, ready to rock?
I'm ready.
All right, here with Bison basketball analyst Nate Zastro. Nate, what in the world happened in Bozeman, Montana?
I think we're all trying to answer that question. This team just—they don't seem very confident right now. And I know Griesel came back, but I'm a bit worrisome with the way they performed the other night, especially on the offensive end. And they're not defending like they did last year. And I think that's what really kept them in games was their defense. So hopefully, they can get a rhythm here going forward with Sam coming back.
Yeah, they definitely need a confidence boost. I was talking to somebody that follows the program really closely, and it seemed like multiple players, and I'm not bagging on Dave, but like multiple players seem like they're playing scared to make a mistake. And that is where what you just said, I think, really comes into play, which is these guys need to get back to being confident and, you know, kind of believing in themselves as basketball players, because that's what I see on the offensive end is being timid and a lack of aggression and a lack of confidence. And it's leading to, you know, late shot clock, poor attempts. It's leading to turnovers certainly. And just, you know, they really, really don't look great on offense. And I think that's something that'll correct itself with Sam Griesel. But at the same time, you'd like it to be better sooner.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right with the turnovers and playing scared. And you can tell turnovers is a big point of emphasis. It's really hurt them in some games. But if you play timid, trying not to turn the ball over, well, sorry to tell you, you're probably going to turn the ball over. So they just got to get back to being aggressive, being confident. And, yeah, I mean, so the guards especially are playing somewhat timid. I think you're exactly right that where – they're trying not to make mistakes. They know if they make mistakes, they're not going to see as many minutes, and they're trying to take advantage of the opportunities that they get. But that's not the way that they've played in the past few years when they've been successful. So hopefully they get a little swag going again with two home games here.
How about that South Dakota State loss to Idaho? That was bonkers.
Yeah, I was keeping track of that score, and I'm just like, when is South Dakota State going to make their run and just find a way to win this one? When are they going to do it? And then it just never happened. that's one of those losses when they do the bracketology. If SDSU were to win in Sioux Falls in March, that could prevent them from getting that, being on that 12-13 line with that type of loss. And I who cares about South Dakota State? I know, but that's really going to, if they end up going in March, that's going to really affect their seeding, I think.
I think you have a chance to be very, very right. Talk to me about this Cal State Northridge team. I think Mark Gottfried is still on administrative leave. But talk to me about this group. I know NDSU went out, I would guess, probably last year, not or 2 years ago. Not you're seeing a lot of return trips from 2 years ago, by the way. This Montana State team got smacked by the Bison in Fargo 2 years ago. Then you have the weird COVID scheduling, et cetera, with last year. But this Cal State Northridge is a return from a game played at Cal State Northridge 2 years ago.
Yeah, they're an interesting team because I just looked at their stats here a little bit ago. They have no one averaging in double figures. They play like 10 guys between 15 and like 23 minutes and no one more than that. So it's a team that is just going to throw out a bunch of guys and try to find a rhythm. Trent Johnson is their interim coach. He used to be a coach at LSU and TCU, had some pretty good teams. So they'll be definitely be coming in, trying to sneak a road win against a team that is obviously struggling offensively, but Cal State Northridge is averaging only 57 points a game. So they're going to look to try to grind it out like a Tarleton State a little bit. I know we played them a few years ago, and they had a couple guys who could really score the ball, but they couldn't defend at all. Completely different team from when we played them a few years ago. So look for a lower scoring game unless our offense wants to wake up. But I expect the Bison to hopefully be able to win this one. They're I think 3-5, and have taken a couple poundings to some good mid majors and high majors at the start of the year here.
Yeah, this group, I'm just trying to look here. Cal State Northridge is 291 in KenPom. That's going to be a game you're going to want to win. And the reason I bring up KenPom is I want to talk to you about Monday's group as well in case you and I don't get together again. And that is, oddly enough, Indiana State, KenPom of 182. North Dakota State has now dropped to KenPom of 183. So that is as even of a mid-major matchup as you are going to get. Talk to me about the Sycamores, the Fighting Larry Birds.
Yeah, it'll be a good matchup for NDSU, for sure. Their best player, Tyreek Key, we might remember him from a few years ago. He is actually out for the season with a shoulder injury, so they won't be seeing him. But Cooper Neese is back. He was a young, kind of pretty good player when they played a few years ago. He's their leading scorer, 15 a game. They have a new coach coming from the D2 level. And they've played really well in some games, and they've played really bad in some other games. So it'll be interesting to see what team shows up for them. But Cooper Neeson's going to get his shots up. He's a really good shooter. He's about 6'5", strong. That's going to be the guy that NDSU needs to make sure that they make his looks contested all night.
You're going to need to find out what an NDSU team shows up, to be honest with you, Nate.
Yeah, that too. Hopefully getting back home, they can get some swag back and start knocking down some jumpers. I do really like the way Jarius is playing, but it's going to take more than him with hitting shots if this team wants to be successful and meet their expectations.
And honestly, Nate, that's what's so wild to me. It's like last year you're watching that team play and you're like, all right, Tyree, Sam's really good. You're still learning the point guard thing, but that's working out fine. Rocky's awesome. And you know, whatever they're getting from either Malik or whomever on the wing is usually pretty good. But, you know, plus you got Grant Nelson coming off the bench. That's all great. Okay, it's all great. Man, if they could just get consistent play out of the two guard position. And that was constantly, whether it was, you know, Jackson or Jarius or Bowden or whomever was kind of trying to fill that role, you're always waiting for. Now I think their best player is Jarius Cook, just the way that it's, you know, in games that have mattered, not like, you know, the games that are blowouts, then it's like Cruiser and Morgan and Nelson look awesome. But in the Division I games, Jarius has been the guy. And so it's like, okay, can we just get last year's version of Sam, Tyree, and Rocky and this year's version of Jarius and go? that's what I think we're kind of waiting on here.
Yeah, and I think those guys are going to come around. They're too experienced. They have too much pride, and I think things are going to turn around here. But like you said, we could just take last year's version, and we'd still be pretty darn good. But it's regressed here at the start of the year. Now it's easy to get all worried in November. NDSU's never really been a great November team, even December team, and by February and March, they're a team that seems to always come together at some point. And with the experience they have with this roster, I'm a little worried, but I have faith that they're going to turn this thing around with some home games here. And they got some really big conference home games here at the end of the month. So sooner the better, for sure, with UND and South Dakota State here at the end of the month.
Yeah, the only time a Dave Richmond team hasn't really shown up in March, the starting point guard rolled his ankle 2 days before the game. I mean, that the first time that they legitimately just put up a stink bomb in Sioux Falls, you know, will be the first time we've really seen it. So I'm with you. I think it'll get figured out. Really, one thing to pay attention, though, is that Malik Harden-Hayes injury. I didn't like the way that looked when he went down. He's not a particularly large-framed guy, and ended up in a sling with his shoulder sitting on the bench. Was able to see that out in Bozeman. Would be interesting to see. Now, that is a position, you know, he was already coming off the bench. That is a position where they've got some depth. Bowden can play some of those minutes. Grant can play some of those minutes. They're probably fine on the wing. Obviously, Tyree is playing in that spot at the three. they're probably okay there, but something certainly to make note of. And obviously Andrew Coleman, being the Swiss Army knife that he is, can get minutes in those places as well. All right, Nate, thanks, buddy.
Have a good one, man.
Big deck time. I don't have anything for you. actually, let's see. Today's the 9th, right? We're recording. People will get this on the 10th.
Correct, sir.
That's the last day to get your Big Deck Barbecue Christmas box orders in. So, like I said, promo code Ross, 10% off. Save yourself a little change as you go into Christmas season. Save it and donate a beer to us at tailgating.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, $50, like I've said, 4 Big Deck Barbecue products, personalized note, gift packaging, shows up at your door ready to go under the tree. Other than that, just come say what's up at tailgating. We won't be in Thunder Alley. We'll be at the BR tailgate spot. Yes, come, sir, say hello.
New spot this week. It'll probably be the spot that we were in or very, very close to it. Week one, the first week that we were out there before you got the harebrained idea to make a whole bunch of money every Saturday, we will be in, so not as far south and as far west as you can go. We're going to be in the OG lot, the original gangsters, the west lot, the one with the nasty concrete.
Yeah.
We'll be there. You'll find us.
You'll see us if you're walking
through. Right, exactly. Southern half, even with the... probably the second to last set of porta potties. If that's where you want it, that's how you
appetizing.
Yeah. So figure that out, and we will see you. All right, folks, had an unbelievable opportunity to get to know and to speak with North Dakota State cornerback Marquis Siegel. Obviously trained, not obviously, a lot of people know, so it's not obvious, but a lot of people know, trained with my guy Christian Duzik, my former roommate before I went off and got married. Yeah. Shout out C-Duds. Miss you, buddy.
He's the man.
He is. Good people, good trainer. And, you know, I'm sure had somewhat of a hand in guiding young Marquise to North Dakota State.
He got a young Zach Willis to North Dakota State.
But he's been good.
Yes.
Marquise has been good, and it was really fun to talk to him about, you know, growing up with kind of that influence of Christian, that Omaha pipeline. We discussed the Omaha pipeline, yep, to North Dakota State. What makes, you know, those guys that don't get that Cornhusker call to come up here.
Yeah.
And also talked about that room that's just in constant competition with him and JP and Destin. I mean, it's a really, really fun room. So here is my conversation with Bison freshman corner Marquis Siegel. Be with Bison freshman corner Marquis Siegel. Marquis, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good, Coach Ants let it loose in the Monday press conference that you were the cornerback of the week, mm-hmm, for your performance against SIU. What does that mean for a coach? Like, obviously, you don't start the game. Mm-hmm. You don't have the highest number of snaps in the cornerback room, but the coaching staff still identifies what you're able to put out there. What's that kind of validation like?
It's good validation. It just shows I'm capable of being out there. Either a starter, or I'm capable of being a starter or in a role player. It just shows I'm able to make plays just the same as them.
Your journey, you kind of watch, like, you come in with Courtney Eubanks.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, Courtney's playing, like, every snap.
Yeah.
There has to be a part of you that's a little bit jealous of his path, but that has to be somewhat motivating. You got Destin, you got Jaden, mm-hmm, true veterans at the position. How are you biding your time, I guess?
I wouldn't say it's jealousy. I'm very proud of him. He's just like a brother to me. So it's just it just motivates me to be right next to him. So join him being two freshmen starting playing together. So it kind of motivates me to get where he is and make the same plays he is and be out there with him.
You have a good relationship with former North Dakota State All-American Christian Duzik. You're an Omaha guy. Mm-hmm. First pick performance, all that.
Yeah.
I'm sure Christian had some friendly advice for you,
yeah,
you know, during the recruiting path. But what has he kind of instilled in you as far as what this culture is all about, and any tips, or not necessarily tricks, but, I mean, he had to have kind of helped you along the way.
It started from his workouts. He mostly had his workouts from here. So,
yeah.
So technically it's just like he just indicted in us that it's hard work. You're going to get pushed by your limits. You're going to want to quit, but you got to keep fighting it. It mostly just toughens you up. And up here, you got to be tough. So it mostly prepared me to be tough.
Sure.
You know, last year, Sam Houston game, long completion over Jayden's head in a big spot. Mm-hmm. You guys have games where South Dakota State gets a bunch of yards, and I'm not saying it's all on the cornerbacks, but you definitely, especially with Josh Hayes leaving, you guys are a room with something to prove coming into the fall. How would you grade how you guys have done and how you guys have progressed as a cornerback group, even from just week one till now?
I'll start even from the spring. In the spring, Jayden Price was new. It was his first time starting that whole season. And DT, he always been in a rotation, but he never had that big leap of being more plays in. And then going into this year, everybody's new. Everybody's, like, being that guy. So it's just, like, we're still becoming, developing, and we still got much to improve. But I think from week one to now, I think we got way better and ready to compete with anybody.
You mentioned – ready to compete with anybody. You yourself, what do you feel like you have to improve to not necessarily even leap over DT or leap over JP, but what do you have to do better to earn more defensive snaps when it's not, you're not up 28, you're in it?
I'll say consistency. They're very consistent what they do in practice and in game. So in me, I'm becoming more consistent in game. I got to become more consistent in practice.
Okay. ETSU, folks have talked about this group as, a group that almost mirrors you guys as far as they're more under center. Most of the teams you play are in the shotgun.
Yeah.
What have you seen from these guys on tape? What do they do well? And what do you guys need to do well to have success on Saturday?
What I see that they do well is that they mostly do what we do. They're focused on technique, everybody's technique. They ain't going to beat you with speed. They ain't going to beat you with physicality. They're going to work as a team. Everybody's different. Everybody's in their different way. And as that, they all come together just like we do. We all come from different areas. We all come from different places, different times. But when we step on that field, we're together. And I feel like they do that, so that gets them to play very well.
What is it about the because I think, you know, everybody thinks North Dakota State, and you think of, okay, well, they're going to get all the best players from Wisconsin that aren't going to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They're going to get all the best players from Minnesota that aren't going to Minnesota. And then they're going to get the Cordells and the Bradens and stuff like that. But there has been something really special about that Nebraska connection, that Omaha connection. You talk about Christian, Easton, RJ, DeLuca. You can go on and on and on. What makes this place so attractive for high school football players down there?
I'll say winning, because in Omaha, like, most of those guys came from winning programs. And once they see North Dakota, they're a winning program. So it's like they want to continue winning. They would see that it's a good traditional. And in Omaha, that's mostly what we depend on, is traditional. Miller from Easton, from Creighton Prep, they're very traditional. Miller North with DeLuca, they're very traditional. From where I come from, Omaha North, very traditional. And come up here, it's just like we're mostly coming to the same thing. So it's like an easier process.
All right, thanks, Marquise.
Thank you.
Excuse me?
All right, we want to thank Marquise for his time. Want to really thank the athletic department at North Dakota State, specifically Ryan Peralt, for making him available to us. Always cool to get the insights from the young cats.
Marquise is a good dude, man, and especially once you get him to open up a little bit, you get to know him, you realize, like, what a goofy guy he is. But, I mean, he's showed a lot of competitive edge, and he's going to be balling out very soon.
Yeah, they've got some young studs in that room. I mean, if they can keep Courtney and Marquise and keep them healthy, it's going to be fun for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And obviously, shout out JP and Destin. We're always trying to, like, bench them.
Yeah, right. And it sucks that it comes across that way, but, like, we love all these guys.
Right.
They're all great players. Destin's having a heck of a back half of the year.
Yeah.
JP, I mean, dude is Lockdown just a playmaker,
City.
Man.
Lockdown yeah. City. He yeah. wasn't – JP wasn't having it. Two targets, two PBUs. Not only did my guy not catch it, I broke it up. Like, that's nasty stuff. That's man stuff. All right. Let's get in to the East Tennessee State preview. The Fighting Keith Breaks, what it do? But your guy, this is the Schreiber Bowl.
The Schreiber Bowl. The Schreiber Bowl. He's making his return, man. I love Joe Schreiber.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
He bet on himself. Went to JUCO. Wasn't in the cards for him to play here at NDSU. Went to Iowa Western. Got that D1 offer, and he's balling out at Eastern Tennessee. And they just keep winning games, man. So I'm super happy for him to get his shot, live his dream to play college football. Hope I can catch him sometime before or after the game. Got to get a picture with my guy. I love Schreiber to death.
I'm going to guess after is going to be your play. Just so you're aware, I'm going to guess.
I'm just running out on the field.
We'll go
everybody up.
We should see if Schreiber can sneak us some of that Chick-fil-A, some of that post game Chick-fil-A catering.
I mean, he's an old lineman, and you know, if the game goes in the result that we think it will, they'll give him sad Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
like, and slide us
right and be like, dude, I'm super sad. I need three. I need three bags. Yeah. Oh man. Joe's been excellent for them. Quay Holmes is an elite back, and that's the guy. You know, we've talked all year about the best teams or the biggest threat to them is the fact that they are a little undersized at defensive tackle. I talked, and you could kind of see, like, the look on Javi's face is sort of funny. Like, when I called the defensive tackle rooms undersized, he's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
You know, he was giving me, I was like, what?
No. Yeah. He gave you the coach hands.
Yeah, it was not. But, I mean, I'm like, bro, you guys are 270, yeah. You know. Yeah. Don't come at me.
D1 football, you're undersized.
Right, don't come at me because none of you are Brian Schatz or Aaron Steidel or – you know, Ryan Drevlo. And
that's not what they were brought here to do. It's just a fact of what it is.
Yeah, so that's why we need the turtle up in there, you know what I mean? Anyway.
the snapping turtle.
Absolutely. So that's been the bugaboo, right?
Yeah. Is
Pierre Strong Jr.,
yep.
what they were able to do at South Dakota State. And obviously that's the only L, that's the only notch in the right-hand side of the column all year this year. But going back to the spring, struggling to defend SIU, did not struggle to defend SIU this time around.
Sure didn't.
And then, you know, what Sam Houston State was able to get, and man, you talk about a revenge tour. You think of what North Dakota State just did to SIU. I cannot imagine the Bison getting Sam Houston State in Frisco.
And all these dudes who, like, got embarrassed.
Yeah.
Cam Miller. Like, imagine the fire he's going to have.
Yeah.
But also,
looking ahead,
whoever we get on that side of the bracket is going to be a revenge game in Frisco. So, not looking past anybody, but I mean, Quay Holmes.
Unless it's like Villanova or something.
Right.
But yeah.
No, like, Quay Holmes, just his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, too, is really impressive. And obviously, those dual threat guys obviously cause a little trouble. So, I mean, I think he's the main focus for the defense this week.
I think he is, too. And the other thing, and what I think is the reason, and we'll get into this a little bit later. The reason that NDSU is so heavily favored, I think, and as this is like such old school columnist trash analysis, it makes me so mad. But like, at some point, you do just have to look at the two deep, and see the size difference, man, and it's incredible. Not only the skill guys, but like they've got a bunch of 250-pound defensive linemen and. You mentioned 155-pound corner.
Dude, like, you can be as tough and as scrappy as you want, but
big people move you.
When big people play angry, too, there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah, and that's one thing I'll be interested to watch is just how – I mean, these boys better be quick. And I will say, they 23-3 in an SEC team, and I don't know how big Vanderbilt is, but I would guess they're not small.
Right, exactly. It's still an SEC school. So
it'd be interesting to see how that plays out, but, I mean – just going through their two deep that I saw at the press conference, it's like, man, they're just not that big.
Yeah, and the play style, even between us and Vanderbilt, is very different. So, I mean, you just get leaned on and leaned on and leaned on until you break. So, I think that could definitely be – like you said, talk about, like, the hacky columnist stuff.
Yeah, I know.
The game's won in the trenches. Yeah. How many times have everybody heard this? But – I mean, those guys, it's a real opportunity to impose your will early in the run game, and then it kind of opens up all the fun stuff.
I'm interested to watch, too, kind of how they come out, just because what a football game they were involved in last week.
Yeah.
I think it was 15 points in the last 65 seconds.
Electric.
I mean, absolutely electric. The odds... you know, but like Matt talked about on Monday, the odds of actually recovering an onside kick. Now, look, it's college. You can run towards it. That's a huge difference. The NFL, due to concussions and all that, you have to be standing still at the kickoff. So the NFL onside kick rate is like 7%.
Right.
It just does not happen. Mm-hmm. In college, you can be running at the kick of the ball. So it's a little bit different, but that had to be. Plus, home game in front of your home crowd. I mean, we talked about South Dakota State losing in Verm because they had nothing in the chamber after NDSU. I'm interested to know what ETSU has as far as bullets.
To come back and, like, to score 15 points in the, like, even to do that in a quarter is a lot of effort. You did in the last 65 seconds, man. Like, that's a lot of mental bandwidth you're eating up, not let alone the physical stuff to get that done.
Sure. And this is when it's important, too. I mean, people, you talk about, like, South Dakota State being a 7-point favorite in Villanova, and I don't know if I even disagree with that, but you're at a point now where you need to understand, too, that North Dakota State, even though ETSU didn't play on Thanksgiving weekend, and that is not the same as my South Dakota State point, because you're going to have, even though they won that game pretty handily, there are still reps and miles from having to win that cold weather game in Brookings to just get to Sacramento State.
Absolutely.
But, like, ETSU being in a grinder and NDSU having their twos in with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it's different.
Yeah.
It's big time different.
For sure. I mean, you talk about, like, people don't understand the exertion of just one rep of college football.
Yeah.
And, like, legitimately, you're tired until, like, Wednesday when you're finally breaking it up. And, obviously, NDSU takes no gas off the – or doesn't take their foot off the brake. But, you know, Thursday when you're finally putting on spiders, not as high contact, you're finally feeling like, okay, I can play a game this Saturday. But it's the same cycle every time. So, I mean, if you're grinding that out and the team you're playing is fresh and ready to go.
Right.
That doesn't seem like an exciting matchup for me.
I mean, there's a lot of guys on that. We did it at Inside the Numbers at Bias Report. The highest, I believe, defensive lineman snap count was 30, maybe.
Yeah, that's huge.
A lot of guys 27, 17, 19, 23. Like, I'm sure there's guys on ETSU that played 60 snaps last week.
Right, and that's huge, especially in a position group like the D lineman.
Right.
And just being able to rotate, you have to be fresh every place, so... stuff like that's huge, and that's why the program is built the way it is, and the fact of next man up, you build that depth. Next guy's ready to go to kind of take those reps off the starters.
I want to talk about this quarterback, and you guys...
Please Google him.
Yeah, just go to their roster. I mean, this is just a spectacular-looking human being.
Just the salad and...
Oh, it's... It's all spectacular. Tyler Riddell. Here's what I'd like. Got him up here. Just Jesus, Martha. Looks like Gallagher, the guy that smashes the watermelons.
Yeah.
He looks like Gallagher.
He looks like the no regrets tattoo guy from We're the Millers.
A little bit of Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes. That's a good call.
Whew, mercy.
Just some fantastic salad.
Anyway.
Dude does not look like a quarterback.
I know. Yeah, he looks like a punter. Shout out, Ben. Sorry, Ben. Anyway, 5'11", 170.
That's the bigger problem here.
Yep, 5'11", 170, and also averaging negative 1.6 yards per carry. We talked about this with Nick Baker. It's a problem. You don't have to be, like, for example, Eric Berrier.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be able to move like Eric Berrier to beat the Bison.
Right.
But you have to kind of be able to at least move like Brian Shore.
Right.
When you can't move, it's a tremendous problem.
Negative 1.6 per would indicate that he cannot move.
Yeah. So you've got a statue that's 5'11", 170 pounds.
Got a small statue. Could be a long day for this young man.
Could absolutely be a long day.
And the way this D-line is... playing right now, and this whole defense, man, the way Coach Ron is drawing everything up, they've been real nasty.
He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Absolutely.
The whole room.
Yes.
I mean, interior guys, the DN room. I mean, you talked to Braden Thomas earlier this week, and he is having a heck of a playoffs and just getting after the quarterback.
I feel cheated that we only got a dumb spring season and 1 year out of Braden Thomas.
I wish.
Not fair.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
We didn't recruit anybody.
No. No. Anyway, that's kind of our Tyler Riddell take. And look, he's a good player. He has done well within this offense. He does a lot of handing off.
Mm-hmm.
But he has done what is asked. I worry for him a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a gamer. Like you saw, I mean, you don't win.
No, you see these Bakers and these Tommy Schusters and whatever, yeah. And like Will McIlvain,
right.
And like they just get it done by hook or by crook.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was going to spew a take, but I won't.
Going to leave the take in the chamber.
It was going to make a lot of Bison Nation mad, so I'll leave it where it is.
It's okay. I really like Tremont Shorts.
I do too.
6'4", 335 at left tackle. You had some sweet numbers. You want to speed those?
Yeah, it was 400 his junior season before this season. 401 of 401 possible snaps played at a 99.5% grade. Granted, who knows where those grades are coming from?
Sure,
but that's still impressive if he's getting his job done at that kind of a clip.
It is.
I mean, that's legit. If he's a multiple year starter, 6'4", 335, if he can move and play like we think he can,
yeah.
He's a guard at the NFL level.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was really, really, really impressed with him on tape. I think that'll be – and, like, it's funny because I have sort of a – like, I think – well, let's go. And you saw, I think – I can't remember who it was, but somebody – he had, like, an extremely wide stance. And yeah. Somebody put that out on Twitter. Look, I think Willetzko and Penning are fine.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of project-y.
Yeah.
I think there's just some tools to work with there. This guy is the complete opposite of Penning and Willetzko.
Yeah.
This guy is just a gamer. Like, not what you want him to look like, not how tall you want him to be,
right.
Not what you want him to weigh, none of what you want.
He's just a bad
but
dude.
But he's just a gamer, and he's a bad dude, and I'm excited to watch him play.
Yeah, and think about that durability, man. Like, if you're playing every snap possible in the season, that's really remarkable for a guy that plays left tackle.
Absolutely, man. The best ability is availability.
Take him to play for the Chargers next year.
Yeah.
We need all the help we can get.
Donovan Manuel and Jared Foulkes.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
They're nasty. My guy Foulkes is just about as old as I am.
An actual grown man.
8th year senior. Between medical red shirts, COVID-19, transfers, whatever.
Here comes Jimmy Kaporos to break the record.
Yeah, he is the first 8th-year senior in college football history.
Is he the most football guy of all time?
He has
to come back for 8 years, man.
He better be Dr. Foulkes.
I was going to say, get the double master's, got the bachelor, working on his doctorate. Good Lord.
That's amazing. I wrote here that he's 31. He's probably not 31, but it's, I mean...
It's 26. If he came in as an 18-year-old,
he's got to be 26.
That's crazy.
It is. I mean, that's there are young people starting families at 26.
Good for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think they do at tight end without Gindorf? I think it's interesting to me.
Use Babbo more. I think you'll see more of a focal point of, honestly, I think they have different skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's still targets that have to go to that room and have to be accounted for, especially seeing as who the OC is.
Yeah.
I think those guys are going to get their share, but like we talked about in the recap, it's time for guys to step up. So is it time for Joe Stoffel to be involved in the passing game? Is it time for Travis Yonke to be involved in the passing game? How much can Hunter Luepke do attached to the formation as a blocking tight end? I'd rather give him the ball, to be honest with you, but I think there's different usages for all these guys, and you know, they might not put up the gaudy numbers that the two horses do, but still a room full of ballers. So I think the cool thing is we're going to see these guys kind of step up and make their announcement to Bison Nation as we head into the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's something I want to break down too. I mean, just real, real briefly is I can't tell you from a roster construction standpoint how huge it is to have Gindy coming back next
right.
year. It just buys everyone time.
Mm-hmm.
It buys Stoffel one more year before he's got to be the man.
Right.
And maybe he's ready to be the man next year. Who knows? But if he's not.
Then we have two of the mans.
Right, exactly, which is what they had this year.
Right.
It buys Yonke one more year.
Yeah.
Finn Diggins, you have to be a good player as a redshirt sophomore, not a redshirt freshman.
It's a lot less pressure.
And the
Gabe Lloyd coming in.
Yeah, the Fortisec kid from Green Bay, the 6'7 kid. Okay, well, you're no pressure.
Right.
You know, because Stoffel played a little as a true freshman, which kind of shows how special of a player he might be. But, like, you're fine, red shirt. You come in. Maybe we play you your 4 games, but probably not. You're going to come in next year as a red shirt freshman. And, by the way, Gindy's gone. And now you have all opportunity to compete with Yonke, Stoffel, Diggins, et cetera.
And then it kind of turns into the cornerback room situation where it's like, you're going to earn what you get. So if you go in and battle your butt off Monday through Thursday, then you're going to show that you're the guy who needs to be featured. But the good thing is that they're very creative about getting all those guys the ball. And if they'll put 4 tight ends on the field at one time, and then it's all about whoever gets the ball. So there's creative creative ways to get, take care of all those guys. But like you said, just kind of building off that, the intangibles that Gindy brings as far as a leader.
Yeah.
He'll be a captain again next year. Just the type of guy he is in that room. It's invaluable. You can't put a price on what kind of leadership he brings to the room.
And the other thing I will say is I was always told, you know, from didn't matter who you talked to, I was always told that Mason Miller was a high major football player.
Yeah.
And that if he doesn't go to Ada Bora, you know, maybe he's not a Bison.
Yeah.
Just depending on where he would have grown up. And I think because he was another one of those kind of tall, skinny bodies that needed some work, that we weren't going to see that like immediately. He's that dude now.
Yeah.
And so if they're going to put him in 88, fine.
Cool with it.
Yeah. If they're going to put him in 73 and put Cordell at guard, cool with that too.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there's just guys that need to be on the field.
And he's one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited for, you know, not in the fact of I'm excited for Cordell to leave, but we're going to see guys like Mason and Jake Rock step up, both guys that I think are going to be contributing into the next run of this dynasty.
Yep. And that was, you know what, the tackle situation is a lot like the tight end situation where, look, Cordell could not have come back for a seventh year.
Right. He would if he could, promise.
But there was, you know, the question of will Cody leave?
Right.
If you had to replace Cordell and Cody, I think you don't love that. Because, like, look, and that's been Bison football forever for whatever reason.
Right.
Like, you didn't have to replace Billy and Joe Haig. You moved Joe Haig to left tackle.
Exactly.
You didn't have to replace Rado and Cordell. Cordell stayed.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to replace Cody and Cordell. Cody's going to stay. And you can kind of stagger how you have to do this kind of stuff.
And it's kind of funny because we have this conversation year in, year out of like, oh, we're scared. They got next guy coming, and then the next guy's a baller. I mean, it's just how it happens. And the guys that are ready to play step up, and they play when they're ready to play. Obviously, that's not taking into account, like, injuries and stuff like that. Because we've seen it where guys play before they need to. But Mason Miller is 1,000% ready to be playing tackle football at an all-conference level.
I'm going to call out James Hendricks right now.
Excuse me?
Why?
Well, because he was on the radio, and because I get where he's coming from, and this is a lighthearted call out.
Yeah.
James
football?
Because he's giving the company line, and I think it might not be true. And what he was basically saying is, like, there's no more playing cards close to the chest. No more bullets left in the chamber. It's the playoffs. Yeah. and here's what I'll say about that. You're 22.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
That's not going to get discussed by the coaching staff.
No, absolutely not.
But here's what I will say. If you have a really, really cool trick play, now, this isn't the week.
Absolutely not.
If Christian Watson is 51% ready to play,
Absolutely not.
And
how is he going to... James, this is not lighthearted. I'm yelling at you. How are you going to say that when you're the one who scored on the fake field goal in Frisco? Act like we emptied all the bullets in the playoffs. You know when to empty the clip. What are you talking about? I'm not. Oh my goodness, James, you're too brainwashed, my man. But
by the way, still one of my favorite moments in Bison Report history was when Jimmy Football was at the home studio breaking down the fake field goal.
Yeah,
and it's just like, oh man, I think Cordell killed a guy. That had to have been illegal.
Yeah. 1,000. He killed a guy. Rado killed a guy. They were just bouncing heads off the floor. But, I mean, think about the game that we go and play after this is JMU comes to town if they win.
Right.
That's a better team than Eastern Tennessee State.
And you got to have bullets in the clip for South Dakota State or Sam Houston State or Villanova or whoever comes out over there.
I think that's an argument you can have if you know it's going to be a real close one as far as, like, JMU might be the one to empty some of the bag, but there's still going to be stuff left over for Frisco. I mean, there's points that you can score from. I mean, we had like the quadruple reverse to Phoenix. There's just stuff that we'd never put on film before. So this is kind of a funny comment, but like you're never going to see the trick plays to – you're not going to see the quarterback act like he's calling an audible and snap to the running back jump pass in a regular season game against SDSU. I can promise you that much.
Right. All right. the other part about being 22.5-point favorites that I find a little interesting is just I did mention, like, that was not Cam Miller's best game.
No.
And so I would like to see them sprinkle in throws early because, like I said, 250-pound defensive line,
right.
You're over a 3-touchdown favorite. Zach, could they run the ball 48 times and win the game?
They could run the ball 48 times and score on 10 of the plays that they run.
So what's more important to me is to have Cam Miller playing the best football possible.
It's the sharpen the knife thing.
Yeah, yeah. I want a bounce-back performance out of him on Saturday. And you have to enable that as a play caller because the temptation to me is going to be, well, we can just grind these guys into dust.
Right, and that doesn't do anything for Cam. When you're going to need that extra edge from Cam in the semifinals and in the championship game, I think it's something that needs to start early. Build his confidence on the easy throws. Let him cut a couple. And, I mean, if Cam finishes with 15 attempts, but 11 of them came in the first half, I'm cool with that.
Sure. Defensively, this will be interesting. ETSU runs a ton of their stuff under center.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, if you play at North Dakota State, you get a tremendous look at that day in, day out in fall camp. But then you don't, because right. Even South Dakota State, who loves to run the ball down our throats, does so out of the pistol, does so out of the shotgun, and most of the rest of college football is now out of the shotgun, regardless. So ETSU running more of a North Dakota State style, more of a Kansas State style, more of, you know, under center stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's this adjustment going to be like for the defense, or won't it be one because they see it all damn fall camp?
I can promise you that, like, that flip of one, there's a couple advantages to this thing. The way practices are structured, they're still getting live on live NDSU offense, NDSU defense. So they're still seeing the under center stuff that they see during fall camp. But also, even the freshmen, redshirt freshmen, these young guys who are on scout team, they know how to run NDSU's offense, and they know how to operate from an under-center operation. So it's a huge, huge change from, like...
Because they're going to get a good look.
Absolutely. And when we practice, like, as Eastern Washington, and we have 4-foot splits, we're like, we don't know how to play this kind of football. Or we'd go play Wofford.
Yeah.
We don't know how to run the triple option. Yeah. So
we look like trash.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're getting a good look because they know how to run that. It looks like NDSU's offense. And I can tell you, these dirty, rotten, cheater, code green guys, they remember everything about the NDSU offense. So they know what it looks like. They know what it feels like. They'll be just fine, I think.
All right. Tell me about preparing for an uncommon opponent, and then we'll get to our predictions. When it's not a conference opponent or somebody that you have
an identity,
your tape on,
yeah.
You know, somebody you've played in the last 3 or 4 years, what are the challenges presented by that?
Well, one, it's hard because, especially non-conference opponents from other FCS conferences play a lot of lesser skill level than we do in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's hard to be like, how good are these guys really as far as what we're looking at? Honestly, it brings a little excitement because you get to see somebody different, and it's a different opponent coming in. Like I said, the biggest things that you can look at are the X's and O's. If you pay attention to the schemes, what's going on, it doesn't really make a difference as far as not having film for yourselves on them.
All right, give me your prediction.
22.5. 42-10 Bison.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got 41-7. I think it's going to be a romp. I just think they're not big enough, and this team is peaking when it's supposed to peak.
And you know what that means?
What's that?
That means a fresh Bison team to play JMU in the semis.
It does. All right, we want to thank Zach for his time. We want to thank the Big Deck Barbecue Company for being the title sponsor of this here program. Like we said, give us a review. We'll give you tickets. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody. And go Bison.